you for the joy of worshiping you, of knowing you. Thank you for the joy of listening to your word. Thank you for the impact that your word is having in our lives. We are being transformed. We've been changed. You're lifting us daily, and we're grateful to you. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful week that you've brought us into. Thank you for this great month. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us so far this year, and many more that you have in store for us. You are our leader. You are our guide. You are our protector. You are our provider. Father, we are satisfied knowing you. Thank you. Father, as we are here this morning to fellowship one with another, to fellowship with your spirit and your word, Father, our spirits are open. Our minds are open. Father, your word will have the right impact. The impact that you have ordained for it to have in our lives. We'll enjoy ourselves in you tonight. Yes, Father. And we'll carry the same blessings to affect everything in our week. We say thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Greet three people before you sit down. Greet three people around you, and you can have a seat.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm sure you enjoyed last week. It was a glorious week, beautiful week. And a lot of you came for the prayer time that we had during the week, and I'm sure you're all blessed. And for those of you that didn't come, we send the leftovers to you. So you can take the crumbs that fell from our tables. But when we organize programs, I just make sure you're always there. It was really a glorious, glorious time. Sister Daisy, I didn't see you. My eyes just caught yours. See yourself. You were busy in the office. Yes. God also wanted you to be busy in his office. God bless you. Praise God. We said that these few months that are left in this year, we're going to be talking on finances. Okay, let me quickly let you know this, or remind you of this, of the online conference that is coming up with Pastor on the 10th and 11th of this month. Online partnership conference. And we're all supposed to register, and I'm sure a lot of you are registering. Pastor did not put a figure of your partnership that will qualify anyone to register. He didn't say if you had partnered to the tune of 1,000 or 500 or 10 Ghana cedis. He didn't say that. He didn't even put any money on it. Said if you had partnered with any amount of money. Because Pastor understands that partnership is not just financial, but finances are very important in partnership. And I know that there are some brethren, they are prayer partners. So even if you are a prayer partner, you ought to register also. So whatever area of partnership that you are in, register. Amen? And prayer is important. Prayer is vital. And even if you had told somebody at one time or the other about the ministry, about Pastor Chris, about the word of God that God has given to us, you are a partner. So you are all eligible to register. The beautiful thing is that I know within myself that after this 2 days conference with Pastor, every one of us is going to be elevated. And that's the beauty of it. So we need to participate. You need to participate. Create that avenue for God to lift you from the level that you are now to a much higher level. Amen? So create it. And all that you need to create is to register. So if you have not yet registered, don't be calculating, am I a partner? Did I just... No. You are a partner. I'm telling you now that you are a partner. For being here this morning and hearing my voice, I have enlisted you into the partnership of Pastor Chris. Amen? So you register and register quickly. And secondly, we need for you to register your friends and your family members, particularly your family members, so that they can also take advantage of this opportunity the pastor is giving to us, to hear from him directly, to be lifted, to be benefited from what the Spirit of God wants him to share with us. So during this week, today is 5th, and Friday is what? Today is 4th. Okay, then which means Friday is going to be 9th? 9th. All right. Friday is going to be 9th. The partnership is, conference is 10 and 11. 10 and 11. Friday is 9. Saturday 10. Which means Saturday and Sunday. Oh. Okay. Saturday and Sunday. That's fine. So, number one, I said you should do what? Register yourself. No matter the level of partnership that you have been operating on, register yourself. Number two, register your family members. If every one of us can register 5 to 10 of your family members and friends, they may not necessarily be in church, but I believe that after now, when they hear from Pastor, when you create that opportunity for them to hear from Pastor, it will change their lives. Praise God. I said, praise God. So, and if for those of you that are also hearing me through the radio networks, it's extended to you. Whatever thing that we're doing in church, we are also extending to you. Register. If you don't know how to register, you come to Christ Embassy Church or any of the Christ Embassy churches that is close to you and say that you want to get registered with the Pastor Chris online conference that is coming up on the 10th and 11th. Definitely there will be somebody that will attend to you. So for those of you that are here, register your family members. Bring in their names and let us register them. If, for instance, we have your members that are just doing only one copy of Rhapsody every month, that's our starting point that can move them from that level to a higher one. Amen? The important thing is that we want every one of us to be engaged in this beautiful platform that God has given to us to propagate the gospel of Christ. So our family members shouldn't be left out. Get them registered. Then number three, some of you may say that you don't have the smartphone to connect your pastor with so that you'll be able to have that online conference, because it's an online conference. Wherever you are, you're supposed to get connected and you have a direct link with pastor. That's what it is. You don't necessarily have to come to church. So for these 2 days, wherever you are, you get connected to pastor with your registration. Then you'll be a part of the conference. But if you don't have that device that will enable you to get connected, we're creating an opportunity for you to come to church on these 2 days and participate. I thought you would clap. So if video is present, we'll make the video present for you. But if it's just an audio, we'll make the audio. But whatever it is, we're creating the opportunity for you to be a part of it in church. That is, if you are not able to get connected with your device. Amen? Make sure you do not miss it. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful opportunity for us. Make sure you don't miss it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number three. Number three. If you don't have a device that can get connected, come to church and participate in church. Number three. Come to church and get connected in church. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's hear God's word. And, we said we're spending the remaining part of this year to talk majorly on finances. We may be talking about all the things, but they will all converge around finances. Finances. The Bible says money answereth all things. The Bible said that money is a defense. Bible says that the wealth of a rich man is his redemption. So money is important. Tell somebody money is important. And God wants us to have money. God wants us to have money. There's nothing wrong in having money. Money is not evil. When Jesus Christ says you cannot serve God and mammon, that is the spirit of money, he was correct. He was not saying that money was wrong. The same way he said you cannot serve two masters. If I said you cannot serve Ernest and serve Deacon at the same time, I'm not saying Deacon is wrong or Deacon is bad. Deacon is an evil person. He's just saying you cannot serve two masters. Letting you understand that money is also a master. Praise God. So once you are serving one master, you can now use the influence of that master to make another one who would have been a master to be your slave. So when money becomes your master, God becomes your slave. When God becomes your master, money becomes your slave. But money is good. Amen. So God doesn't really just want you to put money over God. Lord, I want you to put God over money. So that God will be able to help you to have more money, because God understands that money is needed in his service. Money is needed in his work. Money is needed in the church. Money is needed in the things of God. So God blesses us and he helps us to make the right use of money. Hallelujah. Money is good. Say money is good. You see, what you despise, you will never enjoy. There are those who see those who are rich. The only thing that comes into their head is evil. Either they think that the rich people are doing things evil, as though the only way money can come to you is by doing evil things. They believe that anyone who is rich is fraudulent, is criminal. It's not true. Money does not dictate the character of a man. It only amplifies it. I said what? It only amplifies it. So when the money comes into the hand of a righteous man, it will amplify his righteousness. The man will do great things, will do big things. We do things that will edify God, that will edify God's people, that will edify the ministry. The money will do things that will direct many people to God. The same way, when money is in the hands of the wrong person, it will also do wrong things. So the character of a man comes first. And that's why when God is addressing you, God addresses your character, your nature. It gives you the nature of Christ. It makes you to be like him, to have his life. And so your eyes now get opened and you are able to see all that God has for you. And you're able to appropriate them and start diverting such things into the rightful purposes for which God is bringing them to you. So money will come to your hand and money will flow through you. Say amen. Amen. Say money is flowing through me. Day and night. Say money works for me. Money is supposed to work for us because we are God's people. And I shared with you last Sunday that to maintain a lifestyle of success, three major areas. Number one, you have to be connected to your source. Learn to be connected to your source. God is our source. He is the one that provides all things for us. We hail from him. We are from him. When you take a fish out of water, you are telling the fish it's time to die. Because that's its habitat. That's where it is meant to live. We are from God. The Bible makes us understand that we are from God. We are God's people. We descend from God. First of all, he created us. But when man fell, God came back again for man's redemption. And now he redeemed humanity and gave birth to us as Christians. Now we are born of God. We have the life of God. We have the nature of God. So we are connected to God by birth. So we are from God. We have the life of God in us. We dwell in the kingdom of God. So in this kingdom is full of great things and beautiful things. The scripture says, in him we live, we move, we have our being. The scripture says, now we are in Zion, heavenly Jerusalem. It says, in this place there are myriads of angels, large company of angels. And God dwells in this place. The Holy Spirit dwells in this place. Jesus dwells in this place. We belong in the same kingdom. We dwell in that kingdom. We're not looking for going into God's kingdom. We are now in God's kingdom. So which means as citizens of this kingdom, as the inhabitants of this kingdom, we're supposed to enjoy everything that is in this kingdom. Goodness is in this kingdom. Prosperity is in this kingdom. Joy is in this kingdom. In this kingdom, there is no lack. No lack. So no one is supposed to experience lack because you are not dwelling in the kingdom of the Ashantis. You're dwelling in the kingdom of God. The Bible says, although we are in this world, we are not of this world. So it is good for you to know where you really belong. The kingdom that you really belong. Praise God. You are a citizen of heaven. So you operate by the economy of heaven. You are only here as an ambassador. The American ambassador to Ghana will never experience the inflation in Ghana. Why? Because his economy is not dependent in Ghana. So we are only ambassadors here. We're representing a greater kingdom. A bigger kingdom, and we're enjoying the prosperity of that kingdom. Say, God is my source. Say, I'm vitally connected to God. Yes, you are vitally connected to God. So there's no decay in God. There's no corruption in God. That's why God teaches us, although we are living in a world of decay and corruption, they are not supposed to affect us. They're not supposed to influence us. We're supposed to live above them. So God teaches us his word and his principles to live by so that we always put the circumstances around us under our subjection. We dictate to them. We declare what we want from them and they deliver them to us. When you live by the word of God, all the elements of this world will respond to your voice. Why? Because God has made you a master. So circumstances are supposed to respond to you. That's why it is good for you to know God's word. Know God's word. Get to know what God says. We don't live by what men are saying. Except what they are saying is consistent with what God has said concerning us. And that is why it becomes our responsibility to let the world know. Jesus Christ says, go and make disciples of nations. Please go and teach them how to live. There is a God way to live. There's a God way. There's a God way of living. A God way of living. You know, sometimes when we talk about God way, or the thing that comes into their mind is always, sorry, sin. Leave sin alone. Sin has been dealt with. Sin has been dealt with. So when you fill your mind with God's way, sin will not even have a place to remain in your mind. Do not have a place in your mind. So don't be thinking that, there was a preaching that went on that without holiness, it's not possible to see God. You must be holy. As though holiness is something you have to strive to become. No. Holiness is just being connected to God. Whatever is in the hands of God is holy. When God takes up this speaker, he becomes a holy speaker. Is it not true? Yeah, that's when God stepped on the mountain, Mount Zion, it became a holy mountain. Why? Because God stepped on it. God has stepped into your heart. He has stepped into your life. He dwells in your life. You are of God. So having that in mind, we come to also understand that everything that comes to us, we must see the holiness of God in it. Say, I'm not ordinary. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. So number one, you maintain that connection. Letting yourself know, being conscious that you are connected to God. God is your source. And number two, because he is your source and you're connected to him, because you are his child, you understand that everything that comes to you has a God factor in the inside. So, you get involved in the kingdom work, the work of the kingdom. Number one, get to know that you're connected, that God is your source. Number two, you must be involved. Your finances must be involved in the work of the kingdom. In the work of the kingdom. In the work of the kingdom. There are some of you that are from, earthly speaking now, they are from other nations. Maybe you came from Togo, you came from Nigeria, you came from Sudan, if there's anybody like that here. You came from America. You came in to work here. Maybe you had a business wherever you were coming from. Maybe as a Nigerian, you had a business in Nigeria that you were doing, and now you are here. When you came here as a visitor, the government of Ghana had no right to tell you to pay your taxes of the work that you did in Nigeria. Say, where is it? We know that you have a business in Nigeria. Where are your taxes? They don't have any right for that. Do they? Does the government have any right to tax you on your work in Nigeria? No. But the moment you start working here, you wouldn't say because you are a Nigerian, but you're working here, so the government here does not have any right to your taxes. No. Why? Because the source of your prosperity then is here. So government is saying no matter what you do, even if you believe that it's only by your effort, we have a lien in it. Because they create the environment for you to work and make that money. So because of your stay in here and working here, you pay the government what is due to the government. So you are in God's kingdom. Everything you earn, God has a lien in it. Praise God. You get to recognize it. When you do, you create for yourself an opportunity for increase, for greater prosperity. And number three, you must maintain a direct and positive influence over others. He says, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. Whatever level that you are, always have a part of your life as a blessing for somebody else. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I am your pastor. But being outside of being your pastor, I'm one of the oldest by age here. That's number one. If you don't believe that, look at my head. And number two, I have lived longest in Christ Embassy more than any of you. Listen to me now. At least in this congregation, more than any one of you. I joined Pastor about 32 years ago. I'm not sure some of you were born then. Praise God. No, David says, I was young, see, but now I am old. He said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. That's exactly what I wanted to tell you. That for all these years that I have spent, I have never seen anyone that has worked with these principles and failed. So get to know them and live by them. You see, every one of us has a capacity. And that's some area where some people go wrong. It's just like in your home, you have different kind of vessels. You have teacups. Some of you have teacups in your homes. Some of you have cups for wine. Some of you have cups for water. Usually the cup you use to drink water is normally larger than the one you use to drink wine. And it's normally larger than the one you use to drink tea. Except I know that some of you have jugs for tea. I know that some of you, when you really want to drink tea, you don't drink the tea the normal way. Yes. Okay. So, but what, no matter how large your tea, I wouldn't call it tea cup now. I'll call it teapot or tea vessel. No matter how large your tea vessel is, it is definitely not as large as that vessel that you use in having your bath. Huh? So you have all the vessels that you want to contain more water. So every vessel has its capacity. It is what you use the vessel for that defines the success of that vessel, not necessarily the capacity. Huh? Exactly. What defines a vessel? What makes a vessel successful and important to you is what you use it for. Not how much content it can carry. If you are one of those who use the bucket to draw water to bath, and now the bucket they're using to draw water to bath sees that every day the amount of tea your teacup gives to you is so small, And the bucket now decides to say, I will also be giving you only that quantity of water, since you really appreciate that teacup. Anytime you take it, you say, oh, you are really happy, you're really happy. So I will also be giving you small water. I'm sure you will dispose of that bucket, because it's no longer serving its purpose. Praise God. I said that to say this. Capacity is important, but it depends on your responsibility, on what you're called to perform. And we are all not having the same capacity. You must understand that. So sometimes when people are talking about prosperity, others who don't have this knowledge, they say, if you are really rich, are you like Bill Gates? I don't have to be like Bill Gates to enjoy, to know that I'm prosperous. The important thing is that what I can contain, God is ready to fill me to overflow. To ensure that at every point in time, I have it and I'm able to use it to do what God wants me to do. Amen? So there are some that can give 10. And that's their capacity. Do it with your whole heart and joyously and cheerfully. There are those that can do 1,000,000. Don't downgrade yourself by looking at those who are doing 10. So, okay, let me also do that. How can they be doing 10? I'm doing 1,000,000. Get to know what your capacity is and operate at that level. Number one. Number two, the God that made you and gave you a capacity is still alive. I said he is not dead yet. Neither has he been overthrown. He has not grown senile. So he has lost his mind. He doesn't know what to do anymore. No. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God. He that created your capacity, he is still alive. He can expand you. I said he can expand your capacity. But before you ask for that, ask yourself, am I faithful in the level that God has put me now? In this level of teacup, am I faithful there? Before I want God to make me a jug. Because he is faithful in little, he is faithful in much. Praise God. And if you doze, I will doze you. I said what? If you doze, what will I do to you? I'll doze you. Don't pretend you are looking at me and still be sleeping. Don't pretend. Say, he is my God. He is my sufficiency. So when you understand these things and you learn to operate by them, your life becomes a wonder. God wants you happy. He wants you prosperous. He wants you to be able to do exceedingly above what you ask or what you imagine. That's why he has created that ability in the inside of you. Start where you are. That's the important thing. Start where you are. Be faithful with what you have. Recognize God in everything that comes to you. Recognize God's place in everything that he brings to you. I told you last Sunday that the first thing that God sees is seed. That's what he created first, and that's what he sees in everything. So when God is giving you anything, see seed first in it. And two sets of seed, God's seed and your seed. See, seed is that preservative part or reproductive part of anything. It is seed that you use to perpetuate or you continue the life of anything. A man may die today, but if they are able to preserve his seed, they can keep that seed for several years. And by the time they use it, the man that was dead 20 years ago can still bring back a child today. Technology has made that possible. Do you know that? Yes.
Why? Because as long as they're able to keep the seed alive, they can keep the life of the man that died several years back. So the seed is what perpetuates life. It's what preserves life. It is what reproduces life. Seed is what multiplies life.
I said seed perpetuates. Seed reproduces. Seed does what?
Multiplies.
So if you want anything that comes to your hand to be able to reproduce, discover the seed in it and don't eat it. If you want it to multiply, discover the seed in it and don't eat it.
I know you understand what I mean when I talk about it. I'm not just saying what you put in the pot and you boil it and chop it with your mouth. I'm talking of what you consume.
Yes.
A lot of people love consumption. They just go buying. And a lot of time, their purchases are influenced not necessarily by their needs, but by what they want people to say about them. By what others are doing. You can find out, maybe sometimes some of us, we've bought a lot of things that we don't really need. Just because your friend has it, you also went for it. And after buying it, you're asking yourself, why did I really buy it? It's just there. It's just there. A lot of people buy gadgets they don't even know anything about. They don't know how it works. So why did you buy it? Dickin also has one. Is that all? You want to belong just to that class that you have it? And the man who has it, that you have seen in his hand, he bought it for a purpose. Maybe he used the seed to buy it because he understands that this will generate more things for him. But you don't have any need for it, and you went and bought it. Think of those who have heavy cars amongst us. You know what I mean, amongst us, among the communities. Because they saw one guy, maybe a managing director of one company, is riding one kind of, you know, heavy car. And they also went and bought it. And meanwhile, that guy you're looking at, maybe he did not even spend one farthing on it. Maybe it's his company that bought it. His company that's maintaining it. Everything is about his company. It's not coming from his pocket. Even if it's coming from his pocket, maybe he bought it so that he'll be able to carry out the work that he's doing. But you are saying, he's enjoying. So anyone that rides this car enjoys. And you go and buy the car. 3 years after, your car is sitting on blocks. Say, I'm not like that. Say one more time, I'm not like that. So it's not just about what you consume. Whatever comes to you, there's a seed inside. Praise God. Recognize the seed. Don't just go blowing everything. Recognize your own seed, recognize God's seed. When you do and you put the seeds in the right place. Because sometimes there are people who are getting the seed, they understand that there is seed in everything that they receive, but they don't put the seeds in the right place. Don't put the seed in the right place. Just like I shared with you earlier on now that a man can leave his seed after even the man had died. But if they put the seed in the refrigerator like they normally do, it just stays alone. It's there alone. Jesus Christ said, except the seed falls to the right place and dies, it remains alone. It abides alone. But when you put it in the right place, to the ordinary person, it may look as though it's dead. But after a little while, it comes back to life. Why? Because it's in the right environment. So which means there's a right environment for every seed. So when you put your seed in the wrong place, it's just a seed. It will not reproduce, but it's still a seed. It will not multiply, although it's still a seed. It has all the potential to give you back much more than itself face value. But it's not able to do all of that because it's in the wrong place, or it's not yet in the right place until you put it in the right place. So learn to put your seed in the right place. Find out where your seed is supposed to be and put it there. Praise God. I'm sure I'm not talking in parables. Okay. And maybe if you are coming to church for the first time, and your pastor just said, what's the pastor talking about? Is this man a farmer? Yes, I'm a farmer. I found God's word. Praise God. Say thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And let's quickly read Ecclesiastes. I want to read this on Sunday, 11:4. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. Can you read together? One, two, go. Read it again. Okay, let's read it from 1 to 4. Regard the wind shall not sow. From 1 to 4, quickly, who is there? If your machine is not good, you get another one. Cannot be using Windows 2.4 at this age. It said, cast your bread upon the waters. What will happen? That's me talking about your bread. Why? Because here it recognizes that there is something inside that bread. So it will come back to you after many days. Verse 2. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. It's talking about consistency. Consistency. Say consistency. Some will say, I've sown. Nothing has happened. We don't know the power of the seed. That's why you're talking like this. You see, every seed has a gestation period. Okay, you know that every animal, for instance. See, rats, they breed. What is the gestation period for rats? See, different kind of animals, different kind of seeds, different kind of living things, they have different gestation period. So the seed you sow today, you may reap tomorrow, or can develop, maybe by tomorrow you start reaping it. And there are some seeds that you sow that you may not really reap, but your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren will reap. There are a lot of things that we are enjoying today that were the sacrifices of those that came before us. We are enjoying them. But they never really enjoyed these things. But we are enjoying them today. Amen? Then the question you ask yourself, in the next generation or two, will people remember that you were here? Is there anything that you're leaving behind that somebody will enjoy? Have you sown a seed for somebody else to enjoy in another 20, 30 years? You know, in this part of the world, people don't really want to invest in businesses that will yield profit in 50 years. 50 years. When you say 50 years, so please, say something else. I want to invest so that I will get the money tomorrow. Right now. There are businesses like that. But what I just want to let you all understand is that they say you give oppression to 7 and 8, for you don't know what evil is going to happen to the world. You don't know the one that's good. Okay, let's go to verse 3 quickly. Say, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. If the clouds be full of rain. So your consistency will now determine how much of abundance that you receive. Those little things that you're putting aside, those little seeds that you're sowing, it's a time come, it saturates your environment, and before you know it, it falls like rain. Oh, hallelujah. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. And that's why 4 says,
We read earlier on that he that observes the wind will not sow. So when you look, some people say, the environment is not good for investment. You know, have you heard people like that? The environment is not good for investment. The environment may not be good for a particular investment, doesn't mean that it's not good for another investment. So when you just put a blanket, the environment is not good for investment, you're talking rubbish. A different kind of investment. But even the one that you're saying is not good, there are people who will look into it. I said, what else is about perspective? There are people who will look into it, they will discover more dimension. You know, the areas that we are not even looking at all, that they know that they want to invest in, and they will see how they will bless her. This is the area that the Spirit of God wants to help us with as His children. He wants us to see beyond what others are seeing. He wants us to see farther than others are seeing. God wants to establish you. He said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. Look at the blessing that God rained on Abraham that we are enjoying today, thousands of years after. Thousands of years after. You know, an ignorant person would have looked at Abraham then and said, you're calling yourself father, the father of this, father of many children. How many children do you even have? How many children does he even have? If God really was really powerful, he would have given you plenty of children. And thinking that Abraham would have married lots of wives so that he now start producing, they say, God has really blessed him. No, but God was looking farther. So that's how God wants us to look. Wants us to see. So God wants you to see far. So what has He done? He has given you the eye of the Spirit so that you'll be able to see beyond what every other person is seeing. Don't live a life like every other man, every other woman. Don't live by the dictates of your environment or by the people that are around you. Live beyond them. Are you hearing me? By the virtue of who you are, you should be several years ahead of your contemporaries. Several years ahead. That should be your mentality. Should be your thinking. So when we hear them saying there's a casting down, you just look at them narrowly. So you are talking at your own level. But at our level, I'm seeing differently. He has said you will build goodly houses. Isn't that what he says? But don't let that be your focus, your attention, your primary responsibility in life. I must finish this. So everything that is coming to you is to use it to finish the house. Even your seed, you are using it to finish the house. I must finish this. You are chopping your seed. And after you have finished the house, you will live inside the house. And you are finished me now. Leave me now. What next? And some people, you go and borrow money to do what? To build a house you will live in. Hello? Listen now. You borrow money to build a house that you will live in. You see all these banks, all these housing finances companies, mortgage companies? Huh? You think they love you? That's why they are giving you money to build a house to live in? Oh. If they really love you, after you have built a house, say, I'm not paying, so that you know, see how much love they really love you. There's something called asset. There's something called liability. A lot of people are living in liability in their houses. Why somebody will use money to build an asset, others are using the money to build liability. Okay, so two people. This one has a house, another one has his own house. What makes one a liability and what makes the other one an asset? Anything you have that is not giving you a constant flow of income is a liability. For those of you that have heavy cars, you are not using the car for business. You're not using it for any kind of business, whether transportation or whether it's enhancing your own business.
But every day you are spending money, you discover that when you take your salary, you go for mechanic, you stay there until night, you carry it. The next month, the car, you say, what part of your salary is there for me? Every day you are spending. So it has now, it's now drinking your salary. You have acquired liability problem. Are you hearing me? You see, God said you build a house. Don't build a house that is a liability for you. Build an asset. If you must build a house, if I have to borrow money to build a house, I must build the house that will either be giving me enough money to start paying off, and I will still have something for myself. If the bank says pay 100 Ghana cedis every month for 20 years to be able to offset the money, I must build a house that I can rent out that will be yielding me maybe 150. Out of the 150, I give 100 to bank and 50 is my own. Then that house is my asset. Huh? If I can live in a smaller house, and this house that I have used money to borrow to build can pay my rent and see offset the house by itself without me having to go and look for more money to pay, it's my asset. Even some of us not even building a house yet, even borrowing money from where you are working to rent a house. You've gone to borrow money just because the facility is there in your office. They gave you the facility, you borrowed the money, and now you discover that you are paying off the money. You don't even have the money to pay school fees anymore, to eat anymore. You are begging friends, eating. What is the problem? Must you stay in two rooms? Must you go and stay in a flat? Is one room not good enough? Stay there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Also, because Mr. Jonah is staying in two rooms and we graduated the same time, does it matter? Are you Mr. Jonah? Do you know where Mr. Jonah is going? If you must go where all your mates are going, some of your mates are in the mortuary. We all have a life to live. Find out what God has for you and get joyous in that state. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The important thing is that God does not want you to remain. So he wants you to be able to use what is coming to you so that you have a better life tomorrow. So tomorrow is more important to you and to God than your today. Why? Because he has only given you today to prepare for a greater tomorrow. So prepare for a greater tomorrow. Tomorrow is bigger. Tell somebody tomorrow is bigger.
Tomorrow is bigger.
We're all digging our foundations today. So dig your own foundation. Whatever somebody is saying, you don't know the kind of house that he wants to build. So don't bother about him. He's already building his own. We're not building the same house. So I'm digging my own. I'm digging my foundation. There are people who put the amount of money they put on foundation can build three houses. Do you know that? Because they know the kind of house they want ultimately to build. You see this church that you are staying, here you are staying now. This place, eh? This ground that you are staying. I filled this place with laterite, 100 trucks of laterite. 100. This place, laterite alone, just to fill, to fill it. 100 trucks. I'm not talking of the ones, because at that time, I'm talking of the one that we bought. But when we're buying, that was when they now started constructing this road. And they were removing the old surface, exactly. So they were removing the old surface. So we went to them and they now started bringing their old surface. So go and dump it somewhere. You know, they started bringing them for us. What am I trying to tell you? See, the amount of money we spend on the lateral, you know, can build a house to fill this place. So somebody could have been laughing. What are they doing? For the five, 10 years, we've not seen anything that they have done. The church is just still level. But do you know the kind of church that I want to build? Do you know the kind of house I want to build? Don't listen to what people say about you. Build your life. And build it on the solid rock that God has provided for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? build your life on the solid rock that God has provided for you.
Say thank you, Lord Jesus. Say thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, I am loaded. Loaded. You are 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 loaded. Oh, hallelujah. And I have some other few things to share with you. I had wanted us to look at Isaiah 45, 1 to 3, but you can read it by yourself. You know, there's a song that we sing which says, you are Lord of the heavens and Lord of the earth. Huh? You know that song? Lord of the land and the sea. You're Lord of creation before the world's time. Lord of all, Lord, you will be. Beautiful song. It's Lord of the heavens and Lord of the earth. God created all things. You believe that? He created all things. So he created everything. Not only is it that he created the physical things that we see, the material world, he also created the dispensations, the ages. Because Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 makes us understand that by faith we know that the aeons, that's the administration of the world, the ages of the world, were also created by God. So there are different ages, there are different administrations. You know that? Yes. The things that obtain today are not the same thing that obtained 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 20 years ago. The world is changing and it's changing. Praise God. So God created all things. He created the gold, he created the silver. Is it true? He created the oil, he created the diamond. Is it true? He created the cocoa, he created everything. He created all things. And when he created all things, he put these things in their definite places on the earth. Is it not true? So God knows where the gold he created, where they are located. He knows where the silver are. He knows where the diamonds are. He knows where the oil is. He knows everything. He's not like a man. You've kept something somewhere along the line you forgot. And you're looking for it everywhere. No, God is not like that. He knows exactly where everything is. Tell somebody, no, God knows exactly where everything is. Yeah, he knows. He knows where the gold is. God knows where the silver is. He knows. He understands that. Praise God. And he is your God. He is your Father. Oh, hallelujah. Not only did he create all these things, he knows exactly where they are. So when you are connected to him, he can lead you to the exact position where the gold is. The exact place. A young man came to me about 3 years ago. He had inherited a cocoa farm from his father, and he was discussing with me how to move the cocoa farm forward, because he is working here in Accra and the cocoa farm is there in the village. And so he is not a farmer, but he came to seek counsel from me how to move the cocoa farm forward. And I was giving him counsel, okay, since you cannot manage the cocoa farm directly, look for other cocoa farmers around you and see how they can manage the place. On a yearly basis, you tell them what you can give to them, and once in a while you visit them. You know, we're just discussing generally. I was counseling with him. He says, okay, so he gave a seed and left. 2 months ago, the pastor came to tell me that the same young man, they have located gold in that same cocoa farm. See, ha ha. He was thinking of selling. I said, no, don't sell. Keep it. Get other people to work for you. But suddenly, only to discover that it was not even cocoa that God put there. Gold was inside the ground. Say, gold is inside the ground. Say, lines are falling onto me.
Lines are falling onto me.
In pleasant places.
In pleasant places.
That's what the scripture says. Get connected to God and let him direct you to where the gold is, to where the silver is. It's better than searching and searching and searching and searching and sweating and sweating and sweating and sweating. And at old age, you'll be boasting, do you know how I sweated to get that thing? God doesn't want you to sweat. It's not a good testimony. How hard you work. That's why I told you, when I was working very hard, God said, how much do you have? Relax. Let me help you. Glory!
Glory!
God wants to help you.
Yes.
Say, I'll let him help me.
Let him help you.
Let him help you. Let him help you. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. So he makes us all understand that he knows all these things. And I said that if he made the world and he made the ages, made the dispensation, God understands what is going to be in vogue tomorrow, does he?
Yes.
He is the one that created the ages. So you may be going into a particular investment that your spirit tells you to go into now, but everybody's saying, it doesn't move, it doesn't move. Is it what moves now that matters? What about tomorrow? Have you come to tomorrow? Have you come to next year? Have you come to 3 years' time? Have you come to 5 years' time? Why are you so concerned about what moves now? Why are you so concerned about what moves now? And maybe what moves now can just be fading away. And you're putting all your resources and your energy only to discover that you're putting your resources on what is dying. But God is saying, this is the next thing. Put your heart here. Put your money here. And you're looking around, there's no market. Those that know their God, they shall be strong and they'll do exploits. What am I trying to make you understand? See, when you get connected to your source through the consciousness of your spirit and of your mind first, and through the resources of your hand, God will start opening up your mind to the opportunities that are available to you. That's why it says, the treasures of darkness, where men are blind to. You may be in a company, for instance, and you are there. You are not the managing director. Maybe you are low in the echelon of authorities there, of administration there. But you're there. God can open up your eyes to start seeing the opportunities that are within that same industry, that same office that you are, that people are not seeing. Is it possible? Yes. You may even be a messenger there. Every time they are sending you up and down. But in the process of sending you up and down, you come to discover, but this thing that they are sending me up and down, God just opens up your eyes. There's opportunity here. There's something here. But how can your eye be open when the only thing you see is coconut? Huh? When I mean coconut, you buy coconut, you drink it. You're going, you buy coconut shoes, you buy coconut dress, everything. No. When you discover, you recognize and let God know that he is connected to what you are doing. You see, it is easy. He takes a poor man from the dust and he takes a beggar from the dunghill and he set them among princes. As far as we're concerned now, God does not see any of us as poor or as beggarly. Are you hear what I'm saying? He sees us as princes. We're all princes and princesses in the eyes of God. But see, remember that there are some princes and princesses that are walking while servants are riding horses. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. And so this thing that God is sharing with you, no matter the level that you are, there's a higher level for you. I said there's a higher level for you. There's a higher level for you. There's a higher level for you. Those things that men are despising, you're going to see great opportunities in them. You're going to turn them around. And suddenly those who knew you before, I will say, where are you coming from? You say, I am connected to the monarch of heaven. Oh, glory be to God. I am connected. Tell somebody, I am connected. Say, I'm heavily connected. You see, because of your connection, there is an information. No, it's a line of information that is constantly streaming into your spirit. Constantly streaming into your spirit. So where men are seeing disadvantages, you are seeing advantages. Oh, they are running away from it. You are running into it. Why? Because there is an origin in the spirit. It tells you where to go. It tells you what to say. It tells you what to do at every point in time. Why? Because you are not living like the rest of the world. We're connected to God. We're connected to God. We're connected to God. So you receive that salary. No matter how small it might look like. People are saying, oh, is that job? Say, look, I'm only here for a while. It's only a process. Glory be to God. It's only a process. It's just like I want to climb up, there's step one. But the moment I step on step one, I know I can step to step two. I know I can step to step three. And if I continue stepping like that, sky is no longer the limit. Because I'm moving to where I'm going. And I'm moving upward and forward daily. Say glory to God. So whatever level you are in, that may just be like step one. But understand that you are not there to stay. You're headed for the top. God wants you to get bigger and greater and better. Glory be to God. God wants another 10 years to come. You look back, you say, thank you, Father, for taking me on this journey of prosperity, this journey of strength, this journey of influence, this journey of power. The Bible makes us all understand that the rich will always rule over the poor. So why must I be the one that's being ruled over all the time? We're not talking of political rule now, we're talking of financial leadership. Why must I be the one that's being dictated to all the time? Whatever the economy says, that's what I do. No. No, I live beyond the economy. I should live beyond the economy. So because the economy is in depression, you are depressed. Because the economy is in recession, you are recessed. Become dormant in life. No, not me. I'm made for a life of productivity. I'm increasing daily, multiplying daily. Why? Because of my connection to the monarch of the universe. Say amen. Amen. Lift up your right hand toward heaven. And declare that everything that comes to you, you recognize the seed that is inside. You recognize the seed. Your seed is working for you. It's reproducing for you. It's multiplying for you. Declare that you are not just a consumer. You are a blesser. A blesser of your generation and many generations to come. You see beyond the ordinary people. Because you are a child of God. Go ahead and speak in another tongue. Make this declaration to yourself. Holy Kitiya Salahata Balaniela.
In the Yasuti Salahata Laba. Declare that you are increasing. Financially, you are increasing. You are multiplying. Declare that at the level you are now, you are faithful to God's word. You are faithful to God's word. You are faithful. And declare to yourself that God is able to expand your capacity. I can receive more. Declare that I can receive more. I can receive more. I can see more. I can function in a higher level. Financially, I can move to a higher level. Declare it to yourself. I can do bigger things financially. I can do bigger things financially. Oh, lahata ya labanga ya suti siti zalanda ya bankati ya landa ya. Oh, riyalan likiti ya labalandi ya zukiti zalakata ya labalandi ya. Go ahead and declare this word to yourself. You are building your life. You are building your life. This is a process of building your life. Declare that you have the ability to see what others don't see. Because of the Spirit of God that's at work in you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Land the Yasutisla Hatabalandila. I am yours, Jehovah. I'm yours. Jehovah, I'm yours. You set my feet on solid rock. There is no more fear, there is no more death. I am the righteousness of God. There is no more fear, there is no more death. I am the righteousness of God. Say, I am yours.
in and say, I am yours, Jehovah. Just lift up those hands. You set my faith. Set my faith. Say, I am yours. Righteousness. You are the effulgence of his excellencies, of his beauty, and of his perfections. And you manifest the very life of the Almighty. You are connected to the monarch of the universe. So all that he desires your life to be, that's the path that you're walking on. You realize God's dream for you. In the name of Jesus, you realize God's dream for you. The word of God and instructions from his lips are not heavy for you. Your heart are glad to accept what God says and to run with them. And the word of God is working in your lives. The word of God is working in your lives. Working in your lives. Circumstances are responding to your declarations. In the name of Jesus, the works of your hands are producing results. You are prospering in everything. You're prospering. Redundancy is removed from your life. In the name of Jesus. Stagnancy is removed from your life. Retrogression is removed from your life. You are making progress. Daily you are making progress. Daily you are making progress. This word of God is having impact in every part of your being. In the name of Jesus. Prosperity has become your best right. You enjoy every one of it. Yes, you're functioning with the consciousness that God has brought you into a place of your inheritance. You don't labor and sweat and struggle to succeed. No, 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 no. The principles that God is teaching you, you walk by such principles and you get the results. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, men will learn about life from you. Men will learn about life from you. Yes, he has sent you to make disciples of nations. You will make disciples of nations. In the name of Jesus. Many will study you for success. You'll be a case study. When men are talking of the principles to succeed by, they will take you up as a case study. The path that you walk will be the desire of many. They want to walk on that same path. In the name of Jesus. Oh, lekete ya la la balande ya suti salakata ya la balande ya la. Yes, 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 yes. In your life and through the works of your hand, men will come to discover that there are other principles they have never learned. A new knowledge will be birthed through your life. A new knowledge. Things that men never knew before. Principles that they never considered before. Yes, they will study your life and they will discover that those principles are vital for living. Yes, because God has raised you up as a light unto your world. You are a light to this world and a light to many generations to come. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Your path in life will not be obliterated. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, your steps in this life will remain for many, 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 many years to come. Because you have taken the word of God as a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. And you're walking in the precept of his word. And this word will work for you. And will deliver unto you what it talks about. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Take out your tithes in your offerings.